this season was a failure for the Celtics. They should have been in the finals. They were clearly the better team in the East all year. And for whatever reason, they didn't make it. Thank you, analytics. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike Filman here with another episode of the Sports and the Real podcast. I appreciate you joining me once again. As always, don't forget to subscribe and like and share and comment. I appreciate it all. Appreciate the support as always. So for today's episode, conference finals just ended. I'll get into that in a bit. Give you guys my predictions if you want to hear it. I don't think I should be predicting anything right now for the finals. But before I get into that, last episode I talked about Scottie Pippen and his relationship with Michael Jordan and things he had to say, and you know, some of the things he said sounded harsh, and you know, I posted some of the clips on social media, and of course we had comments back and forth about, you know, people hating on Pippen and saying Pippen wasn't nothing without Jordan and you know, this and that and the other. And what I want to say is sports debate now has become so tribal and so cultish. You can't say nothing negative about anybody as if like there's God somewhere playing basketball, playing sports. Like nobody has any negative attributes. Yeah, Jordan was great. Yeah, Jordan was GOAT. But it's okay to say that there are some things about him that weren't great. And that's fine. It's okay to be, you know, to be honest in our conversations, to be balanced. And I know there's a lot of money to be made in hot takes. I'm not a hot take artist. I have no desire to. Listen, if the only way for me to make money, right, is to be a hot take artist, I don't want it. I'd rather be able to sleep at night comfortably than to go be a hot take artist and, you know, to bang on somebody and to lose all objectivity, right? To either ride somebody so much where I can't admit certain things they're doing wrong, they do wrong, or to hate somebody so much that I can't even admit when they do right. There's a lot of money to be made on both sides of that, right? People on TV making a lot of money hating on LeBron all the time. I couldn't do that. Is LeBron perfect? No, but I don't know, man. Maybe I have standards, and maybe those standards... Maybe having standards is why I'm not rich yet. Huh? What do you guys think? Maybe not being sleazy and having standards is the reason we're not millionaires yet. Maybe I got some millionaires listening to me. No, but seriously, because it's like you can't have honest conversations. Everybody has an agenda. They want to spin the narrative their way. No, I just wanted to say that Scottie made some valid points. Right? He deserves a lot of the credit for the Bulls' success that he didn't get. That was definitely overlooked and didn't get discussed in The Last Dance. Those things were fair. And he's right to say that Michael Jordan didn't win much before Scottie became who he became. Right? All that's fair. And this is coming from me again. Michael Jordan was God to me growing up. But I'm not going to be blind and have blinders on to say, hey, Michael was perfect. So if you're going to listen to this podcast, I hope you get used to me being fair, being honest, being balanced. Right? That's what I'll try to be. Some people like the hot take stuff because it gets more clicks, you know, followers on social. That ain't my style. Like I'll never get any followers on social if I have to go that route. That's just the way I'm going to be. Anyway, that was a long preamble. conference finals recap. Damn it, man. NBA script writers messed up. They went on strike. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to start with the Celtics and the Heat series first since it just ended. And it was the more compelling series. The Celtics are just a huge disappointment. That's my overall synopsis of the situation. The Celtics are a disappointment. And I'm going to say this. I might get some pushback. analytics cost the Celtics a championship, just like analytics cost the Rockets a championship in 2018 when they missed 27 straight threes. When your coach is on record giving out a quota for how many threes you have to shoot, we got to shoot 40, 50, 60. What? Let the game come to you, bro. If the mid-range is there, take the mid-range. Like, the Celtics became so easy to defend. It was either layup or three. I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised they got three games off of that series the way it started. I mean, they started making some shots, yeah. But their offense was so predictable, they couldn't. The Heat were playing this elementary-ass zone defense, like a 3-2 joint. And the Celtics couldn't break the zone. I'm like, what is going on? They just kept jacking up bad three-pointers. Bro, we learned how to beat zones in, like, middle school or something. Like, somebody flashes to the middle of the free throw line. They could either take the shot, go lay it up, dunk it, spray it out. Like, the Celtics did none of that. So the Celtics, and listen, Mazzulla's a rookie coach, right? So he'll get a pass. And again, I don't like to blame coaches anyway. So, you know, I gave Doc Rivers a pass and people ain't like that. But as a coach, and Charles Barkley said this on Inside the NBA after the game was over, a coach, you're either coaching something or you're allowing it to happen. And when your team is just sitting there jacking up three after three after three after three, even if they're missing, that looks bad on the coach. So I hope he learns his lesson so that doesn't happen again. But these new wave coaches and their analytics is like, yo, you got to have a plan B. If your threes ain't falling, what are you going to do? Because if your threes ain't falling and all you can take is layups, the Heat know exactly what's coming up next. So they're just waiting for you. So it's just crazy to me to watch that kind of stuff unfold. Like, what are we doing? Like, play basketball. The Heat, to me, and people say the Heat are one of the most analytic-driven teams, but when you watch them play, you can't really tell because they take the shots that's available to them. Jimmy drives the paint. He'll take his midi. He'll go to the hole, get fouled. He'll take the three sometimes. And by the way, for those of you who try to act like, you know, who want to say, well, Michael Jordan wouldn't have dominated. Michael Jordan wouldn't have dominated in this era. I just watched Jimmy Butler, who could barely step on a court with Michael Jordan, barely tie his shoes. I just watched Jimmy Butler absolutely kill the Celtics and kill the playoffs totally. Everybody. The Bucks, the Knicks, Celtics, everybody. And you're going to tell me Michael Jordan wouldn't be killing these dudes? You kidding me? Oh, well, he can't shoot a three. You trying to tell me Michael Jordan would have needed a three-point shot? And he shoots better three-point shots than Jimmy. Three-pointers than Jimmy. He would have worked these dudes. So when, you know, Jordan fans or people who actually watched basketball back in the day, we're called old heads now. When we say Michael Jordan would have killed this generation, this is what we mean. Like, Jimmy Butler is not the most gifted athlete in the league right now. He's, you know, but for somehow, he's driven, he plays solid basketball, right? He knows who he is, he stays with them himself, and he just plays tough, hard basketball. You don't have to be flashy to win. And Michael Jordan was flashy. He was great, he was fundamental, he was tough, and he was flashy. Like, the flashiness that people saw from Michael Jordan, that was just the icing on the cake. The brother's fundamentals was on point, and I've said that before in previous episodes. Footwork was on point. Like, you hardly ever saw Michael Jordan stuck. Like, he didn't know what to do next. Either his athleticism would get him somewhere or his fundamentals would get him there. But anyway, Jimmy Butler absolutely killed them, along with Caleb Martin. The hell? Who predicted that? Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent. So I had predicted the Celtics would win in seven. I actually thought the Celtics would have won that game seven if Jason didn't turn his ankle. People say, well, that's excuses. Well, some excuses are legit. Right? If I broke my leg and I say, hey, I can't walk, it's not an excuse. I actually broke my leg. I can't walk. There's a reason. So I think if Jason doesn't get hurt, I think they win that game and they win the series. And we're not talking about this. But it should have gotten to this point, and that's the point I want to make. It shouldn't have gotten to this point, the Celtics. Had you played the right way, the whole series, tough defense, smart basketball, it wouldn't have gotten to that point where you needed a game seven at home. You were clearly the better team. Like games four and five, like you were clearly the better team. And had you kept that same intensity, that do or die mentality from the beginning, it wouldn't gotten into a game seven and Jason wouldn't have gotten hurt. But back to Mazzulla and the coaching, right? So no plays. It's either three or layup at this point. Couldn't beat the zone. You got Al Horford shooting threes like he's freaking Del Curry. Yo, I didn't know Al Horford was like that. And I don't think he is. He makes some threes, but he ain't like that. Like Al Horford just catching the ball and throwing it up like he's Del Curry. Like, he should be in the three-point shootout. No, man. Analytics. Take as many threes as you can. And hopefully they go in and you win the game. Ridiculous. So the Celtics just don't play smart basketball to me. I think going forward, they need better point guard play. I mean, I like Marcus Smart, his toughness. I like Malcolm Brogdon, but I don't know if that's what they need. They need someone who can slow them down and actually control the game when their shots aren't falling, when Jalen starts turning the ball over. By the way, Jalen, I love the guy's game. This is the second year in a row. He has to work on his handles and protecting the ball, taking care of the ball. A lot of times he gets too loose with it. It's not that he can't handle. It's just that he loses focus. Like, he's at LA Fitness playing against me and, you know, cats like me who can't strip him. Nah, these NBA guys are going to rip you. Jimmy Butler's going to strip the ball. So he has to get back to the basics and protecting the ball, right? Especially in big time moments. But he's got skills. His defense can get better. I've been saying this. These guys, him and Tatum played great defense, actually, on Jimmy Butler a few games. He actually made him look really bad. He made Jimmy look really bad, D'ing him up. But Jaylen Brown is too long, too athletic to not be a better defender. Him and Tatum are both on my wasted talent list, okay? They're not at Zach LaVine level wasted talent. And if y'all haven't heard that episode, go listen to it. They're not at Zach LaVine level, but these guys, they can do so much better with their talent, and they're not maxing it out, right? So they're like right above Zach LaVine in that sense. But they can use better point guard play, someone who can control the game, control the pace when they're not missing, who can orchestrate an offense and get them good shots. Also, the coach can help them by running good plays and calling out good plays. But again, having said all that, I think they win if Tatum doesn't get hurt. So it was a failure, Giannis. This season was a failure for the Celtics. They should have been in the finals. They were clearly the better team in the East all year, and for whatever reason, they didn't make it. Thank you, analytics. But the Heat are some freaking dogs, man. You just got to give them credit. They keep fighting. They make timely shots, timely stops. Like I said, Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent making shots, Duncan Robinson. They just play basketball. That's what basketball is. It's about competing. And a team like that, you know, like they just compete, they fight. And then, you know, whatever the final score is whatever the final score is. They don't come in with a preset agenda. Oh, I'm going to jack up 53s. I have to jack up 53s to win. No, it's like whatever it is. Whatever is needed, I'm going to do it. Whatever is needed, I'm going to do it to win. That's how Jimmy plays and the rest of them follow. And they're a damn good team. I don't know how much they got for Denver. They got to be tired. But they're a damn good team, and I give them much props for that. Spoelstra is the best coach in the league to me right now. Like, this cat could coach really anybody and get some wins out of them. So much props to the Heat. Denver and L.A. This series was a mismatch, man. I thought L.A. would win in seven. So that's on me. I thought they would exploit Joker. For whatever reason, nobody's been able to exploit the Joker on defense, like consistently. I don't know why. But I'm going to pat myself on the back once again. I'm going to say this. Basketball is a simple sport. Usually, the team who wins is just a better team. They have the most talent, more talent. They play harder, they play smarter. More talent, play harder, play smarter, and you're going to win. You can be more talented. If you're not tough and smart, you're going to lose. Memphis Grizzlies, Exhibit A. All right? But if you're more talented, you play smart, and you play tough, you're probably going to win 99 times out of 100. And that's what happened. Simple basketball. Denver just was too much. Right? I picked the Lakers because I thought LeBron would have, you know, a flashback series trying to get back to the finals. I thought AD would dominate. And AD had some good games. Like, his scoring numbers weren't great, but his defense was really good. His rebounding was there. But he needed to be, like, 30 and 20. For them to have a real chance. For whatever reason, he couldn't. So shout out to Denver for being good. Couple things. There's been a lot of talk on social media now that Denver's advanced and Denver fans are like, you know, the Nuggets aren't getting that much in the media coverage and this and that. Like, What is it that fans don't understand that the media is out to make money? Like, their ratings. They know where their bread is buttered. So, yeah, they're going to talk about LeBron all day. And they're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys all day. One of the reasons why I stopped watching, you know, these shows on TV is talk about the same damn topics all the time. Same teams. Tom Brady when he was playing. So these Nuggets fans are acting brand new, like, oh, we're not getting enough coverage. Duh, you're the Denver Nuggets. There's nobody on your team that's worth that's worth talking about that much. Yeah, Joker is great, but Joker don't even want to do interviews. He don't even want to do, like, he ain't trying to be like that. So what do you want him to do? Force talk about you guys? And it's not that your team doesn't have good players. It's not that you're not a great team. It's just these guys are in it. They got to sell ad spots, man. They do. And for whatever reason, you know, the Nuggets don't have nobody on that level to be talked about on a level of LeBron and the Lakers, right? Cowboys get talked about even when they suck. That's just the way it is. Don't act brand new. But here's another thing. So one of the things that come about as a result of Joker not making it to the finals and having two MVPs is now people are already catapulting him into, like, conversations he shouldn't be part of. Like, way up there. Like, he's one of the top, you know, five centers ever. I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. Joker's great. I like Joker. I love watching this guy play. But slow down, please. Please. And again, to be fair and balanced, people don't like that. They just want to jump to conclusions immediately. Oh, he's putting eye-popping numbers. He's getting triple-doubles all the time. And, you know, listen, man, like I said, I like Joker. Can we please slow down? Here's why. I think the Joker, this is a result of timing. And timing is everything in life, sports, right? Timing is everything. And this is great timing. Why? Joker right now looks amazing because he's like one of maybe two centers, three if you count Anthony Davis, who are actually guys who you can give the ball to in the post and count on them getting a bucket reliably. So his numbers pop out and stand out because he has literally no competition for post play. No one to defend him, right? All the centers now are just tall, skinny guys who can run. They can catch lobs, but they can't body him up. They're not really great one-on-one defenders. They're more help defenders. And they themselves have no offensive game to expose the Joker's lack of defense. So when Joker goes against Embiid, Embiid gives him the business. Now imagine if Joker was going up against big-time centers all the time. Imagine if Joker's going up against Shaq and the Lakers. What is Shaq doing to the Joker? And it's not to say that Joker wouldn't be getting his. Jokic would be getting his, too, against everybody. But he would be looked at in a different light because he would be getting, you know, his 25 points, his 20 points. But, man, he'd be giving up 30, 40. Shaq would be killing dude, fouling him out. Hakeem, the Dream? You think Joker's keeping up with the Dream? He's getting worked. David Robinson, Ewing, these big boys, Tim Duncan, even though he claimed he wasn't a center. So the point I'm making, this is a lesson, a life lesson. I've said this before. Timing is everything. Timing is part of luck. If you want to go back to that episode, right? The Steph Curry is lucky episode. Timing. Right? Timing of this era of no true big man with post game. Again, we'll blame analytics. Analytics says post game is not effective. Post up is not an efficient shot. Right? In this era of no post game where nobody has a post game except for like two or three guys, Joker stands out. So he can get his 30, 10, and 10, and he doesn't have to play any defense because there's no one there to challenge him. There is no one there on the other end to make him look bad and to make him work, to gas him out, right? So it's harder to get 30, 10, and 10 when you're getting bodied by Shaq all game. The Lakers are in the West, so you're playing the Lakers maybe four times a year, right? The Houston Rockets are in the West, so you're playing the Dream four times a year and David Robinson, like the big boy, Tim Duncan. Like if you played in that era, even somebody like KG, KG now would probably be a center. KG is Anthony Davis with more bite to him, more dog in him, as they say. So, like, you're getting a workout. So, you're probably struggling to get that 30, 10, and 10. It's not as easy. So, does Joker look differently if he's getting 20, you know, 10, 8 assists, whatever it is, right? But he's giving up 30, 35? Because we know his defense ain't like that. He got nothing for Shaq. He got nothing for Dream. Right? So you think you see him getting, you know, bodied by Embiid now. Imagine, right? So timing is everything. I just wanted to say that for those who's ready to crown Joker as one of the top five players ever, offensive players ever. Like, slow down, man. The man's great. Stop the hyperbole. Like, chill. All right? We can call people great now without going overboard. It's ridiculous. Let it be. He's great. And the thing is, Joker don't even care about these conversations. He could care less. But that's okay. It's okay to say, hey, man, you're great, but, you know, timing is great for you too. Because we can see other guys, they had to play both sides. You ain't got to defend nobody. Two times a year, you got to D up Joel Embiid, and he makes you look bad. And that's okay. Another point. The grace that's afforded to European players by the media is kind of suspect to me. So Joker recently said, you know, basketball is not the main thing for him. You know, he thinks about his family life, you know, typical, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know if the American players get that kind of grace, man. And I don't know why that is. Is it racial? Is there racial undertones to it? I mean, Giannis is black. I mean, he's African. But what is it, right? Like when Kyrie says, you know, basketball is not his priority. You know, Kyrie's not the greatest example because this cat just be missing work just for the heck of it. He'd be calling off. But people bash Kyrie when he says, hey, man, basketball is not the most important thing. We don't know what Kyrie's going through, what's in his mental. Would we afford LeBron that kind of grace? Have we afforded LeBron that kind of grace to say, hey, man, basketball is not the most important thing? I don't think so. Somehow Giannis gets to say that. You know, he gets to give his speech about it's not a failure and people in the media, you know, gobbles it up. And Joker gets to say, you know, basketball is not the most important thing. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. Family is the most important thing, whether it's you're a basketball player or, you know, you work in an office. But to me, I just feel like the media is more quick and fans and social media, they're more quick to say, yeah, you know, to give more grace to the Euros than to the American-born players, specifically the black athletes, right? More grace towards the Euros than to the American black athletes for whatever reason. Like if LeBron says something like that, you know, it's probably a different reaction. That's just an observation. Anyway, back on topic. The Lakers overachieved. All right, when you look at that team, they're lacking playmakers. They need better shooters, so they overachieved. Bron was all world as much as he can be. AD carried as much as he could. Of course, he's inconsistent. I think he's going to be inconsistent for the rest of his career. His body's not going to hold up like that. Lakers got one chip out of him. Some people call it a Mickey Mouse ring. It doesn't count in the bubble. So that's that. I don't think they'll get another ring with AD as the number two. His body, unless he transforms his body and his body's able to hold up, I don't know if they'll be able to get another ring out of him. So honestly, Bron might be done winning rings, and that's okay. He's done well for himself, exceeded expectations, so on and so forth. Here's another sidebar. Got plenty of them today. I'm coming with the ammo today. When we talk about clutch basketball and clutch shots, people always throw out the numbers. Oh, man, LeBron has made in the playoffs. LeBron has made the most, you know, buzzer beaters and you know, playoff history, more than Jordan, more than Kobe, blah, blah, blah. So to me, being clutch is more than just taking a last second shot, right? Being clutch is looking at the details, the scenarios in which you are able to create and make a shot. In those last seconds of game four, to me, kind of encapsulated why I wouldn't put LeBron clutch and Jordan in the same conversation, at the same levels. That game four, they're down two. 51.7 seconds left. Yes, I went back and looked at it. They're down two. LeBron holds the ball. He dribbles the air out of the ball. 5 seconds left on the shot clock. He passes it out to Dennis Schroeder. What's Schroeder to do? He's got Joker on him. LeBron, like, he could walk into a three right there or put a move on Joker, create separation, get a shot off. That's what he's supposed to do. And some people are going to say, well, he's old. Well, he's hurt. Well, if you're old and hurt, get off the ball. Pass it to somebody else. Don't kill the clock and then with 5 seconds left, pass it to Schroeder and use that as an excuse that you're hurt and you're old. You're either going to do it or you ain't. So LeBron clutch to me is if the clock's running out, right? Inbound the ball, clock's running out, I'll give LeBron that shot. He'll take it and he can make it. Right? I'll feel comfortable with him doing that. He beat the Bulls in the playoffs against Jimmy Butler. The magic shot we all remember against Dwight Howard and them, right? Several years ago. Now he could do that. Where I still feel like Bron struggles though is set defense, and he has time to think about making a move. And if he can't get downhill into the bucket, I still feel like even in year 20 and all his greatness, he struggles to actually create a shot. Right? So the numbers are going to say he's great in the clutch. He makes a lot of, you know, buzzer beaters. But to me, if the defense is set, like if the defense isn't set, Bron's coming at you, think that Toronto series, going full court, he can do that. Right? And of course, there are examples. There's always examples of him, you know, doing exactly what I'm saying he can't do. But he's not, that's not where he's best at. So there's more than one example where that comes up, where his inability or doesn't want to, whatever it is, right, to actually create a shot when the defense is set and create a clean look for himself, he'd rather pass it. So in that situation, how do you wait till 5 seconds left on the shot clock and then you throw a dart to Schroeder? What is he supposed to do with that hot potato? So other examples where this has happened, right? Where LeBron's inability to create a shot against a set defense has shown up. The finals, that game seven where against Golden State, where Kyrie is the one who ends up making that shot and bailing him out. If people remember, the play before, Bron couldn't get a good look off against Iguodala. Iguodala should be able to guard Bron one-on-one. But go back and look at the shot LeBron created for himself. It was ugly, terrible. Another example is, I think the first year with the Lakers, right? Lakers, Clippers, he has a shot, you know, to win the game, and Pat Bev is guarding him, and he goes up for the shot, and Pat Bev knocks it out of his hand. That shouldn't happen. Pat Bev shouldn't be able to strip Bron. Create a good look for yourself. Use your dribble to create your shot and to create a good look. You're big enough, you're strong enough. And I think that also ties back to free throws, right? I don't know if he's thinking too much. I think that ties back to his free throw percentages as well. When LeBron's able to just go, he's unstoppable. But when he has to think about it, I think there's still some stuff there. That's just me, though. So in that situation, Joker's guarding you. I know there's help coming. Right? Aaron Gordon's right there waiting to help. He's not going to let you just blow by Joker. Dude, you can walk into that three. You've been making it all game. Step into that three. Sure as hell ain't giving it to no Dennis Schroeder. He ain't going to do no better. And in the play after that, when LeBron gets it, he runs into, you know, and throws the ball off the backboard essentially. You know. But to me, that play was the game. Right? You get a clean look. At worst, Anthony Davis can grab a rebound because Joker is away from the basket. Step into that three and knock it down, bro, confidently. So that's why when I say, and again, I try to be balanced and fair. This doesn't mean that LeBron sucks. He's not clutch, right? Some people, no, that's not the way I operate. I'm just saying, in those clutch type of moments, there's different clutch moments to me. There is the clock's running out, 2 seconds left. You got to throw up a prayer. LeBron can take that shot. Right? Or LeBron can get downhill, we can give it to him. But in a moment where the defense is set, I think he struggles there. Again, you'll probably find examples. I'm sure there's examples of everything. Every possible permutation of the universe is available online now. But in those moments when the defense is set and waiting for him, I still think LeBron struggles to create a shot for himself, or he doesn't want to create a shot for himself. And that was an example of it right there against the Nuggets. So, again, the Lakers overachieved. They need more playmakers. They need better shooting. But Bron is aging, man. That was the first series I watched him. I was like, damn. I mean, he's been aging, obviously. But this one is like, damn, he's the end of an era, man. The end of an era. The king. All right, so that was my recap. I didn't have much to say about the Denver LA series, so I had to add some additional thoughts. But that was my recap there for Denver and LA. The better team just won. More talented, played harder, played smarter, and they won. What else you gonna say? What's the analysis? All right, finals prediction. Y'all might not want to listen to me. I don't care. I'm gonna tell y'all anyway. Y'all gonna get these predictions. The Heat and Denver. On paper, this says it's a mismatch, but I'm not gonna count out the Heat. On paper, it's a mismatch. Denver should sweep. I'm gonna say Denver in six. I don't have much analysis. Again, they're just a better team, well coached. But Spo is a hell of a coach, man. Jimmy Butler's a hell of a player. He's a tough player. Like, he comes to the gym like, I'm the best, and you're not going to beat me. I'm not going to beat myself, and you're not going to beat me. And when you play like that, anything can happen. So the matchups really favor, right, Denver. I want to see if Jimmy goes against Jamal, though. Because if it's just Joker scoring for the Heat, and Jimmy, because Jimmy's a two-way player now. He's excellent both ways. So if he can lock down Jamal, keep him on the wraps, and still get his, hey, man, anything's possible. Then you get cats like Strus making shots, Gabe Vincent making shots. Hopefully you can get some consistency out of Bam. Then we got a series. Right? But the Heat are tired. Denver's been chilling. Even though some people say, you know, too much rest can be a problem. I don't know, man. Like, at some point, like, it's better to chill than to be tired legs. But it's going to be a dogfight. Denver better not take them lightly. The Heat are going to come to play. I like Denver in six. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Heat won. They've been surprising me. I've been counting them out since the first series against the Bucks. But I think this team is more prepared. They're more balanced. Joker is legit. Jamal Murray is the real deal. And they got the surrounding pieces, right? When people give all the glory to, you know, the star players, and these surrounding pieces are the ones that just cut you, man. They blow the game open. When people are on the bench and, you know, they come in and do their thing, and Bruce Brown hits a couple threes, right? Unexpected. So I don't have much analysis for that series. I just think the better team is Denver, and they'll probably take it. But shout out to the Heat for being a great team, man. A bunch of fighters. But I think the road ends here for you guys. All right, y'all. So that's the episode for today. Basketball is almost over, man. NBA is almost over. Playoffs are kind of disappointing. I ain't going to front. Heat-Celtics series, you know, kind of salvaged it the last couple of games. But overall, I expected better competition. Just didn't happen. Yeah. But, hey, it's better than regular season. I'll take that. All right, y'all. Let's get ready for game one. Catch y'all next time. Sports in the Real Mike Feldman. Be easy. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.